One of Satan's favorite tactics is to use scripture improperly to take us down or discourage us. Here's Pastor Dave Roth.
The devil loves to quote scripture. When someone is hitting you over the head with a scripture, beating you up with a scripture, condemning you with a scripture, that's very typical of how Satan attacks people. So be cautious about that. The Bible is God's word, but you need to understand it. Study it, understand its context, get the real meaning, do some good interpretation on it before it becomes fruitful to you, because the devil uses it improperly and other people will use it improperly as well.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hand, and the instrument I play, wake up my voice, let the world hear me say, you are worshiped.
Temptation is certainly common to all. Even Jesus, as we'll see today, was tempted. Of course, he didn't sin. It's interesting to notice when temptation came to Christ, it was following his baptism, when he was right in the middle of God's will for his life. Maybe you can relate to some degree. You go to a secluded retreat and have a life-changing experience. And then when you come down the hill, you're struck with a huge temptation. Today on The Balanced Word, Pastor Dave Rolfe will show us what temptation looks like and how to defend against it.
If you've been with us, last year we went through the entire Old Testament and picked out Bible stories as we were going through. So this year we're going to do the same thing in the New Testament. And so starting with Matthew, and we'll go right on through to Revelation, Lord willing, this year. Now, as we do that, God has chosen stories to communicate with people most effectively. And so the Bible is just full of great stories. And again, in the New Testament, just like in the Old Testament, that's how God generally communicates. So I'm looking forward to this year just seeing what God will do. And I hope you stick with us. But right now we come to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, the story of Jesus being tempted by Satan. The story of temptation it's an interesting one. I think there's a lot that we can learn from it. You can right away start jumping to theological things. Well, how could he be tempted? Was it possible for Jesus to give in and sin? Or because he's God, that isn't possible. If it's not possible, how can it be temptation? But none of that is really the point of the thing, so you can wrestle with that on your own. I think I put at least one discussion question for the small groups to kick that around a little bit. And your guess is as good as mine on some of those questions. But just to look through the story and see, okay, what does God want us to learn from this story? Why was it put in here? So let's just jump right into it. Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. It's important to say 40 days and 40 nights because most of us have fasted for 40 nights. It's the days that are tricky. But he did both. And it says, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you're really the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, quoting in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, or one of the porches around the temple. And that's a place that would be really high up because the size of the temple plus the city wall plus it's built on a hill, so it'd be quite a view. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, quoting scriptures, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, quoting another scripture, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory and said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Quite a story. There are a couple of things just from a macro perspective that we see from this that's interesting. First of all, I think sometimes we feel guilty about being tempted. We feel like temptation is basically wanting to do something that you know you really shouldn't do, you know it isn't really good for you or for someone else, but you're desiring it. And a lot of times we think that we've done something wrong if we want to do something bad or if we're thinking bad things about people or so on. I have people all the time who come to me who are really being tortured and they feel so guilty because they go, "Oh, I feel so bad telling you this, but sometimes I just think this." It's like, no, that's temptation. That's not sin. There's nothing that you can think, nothing that you can desire, nothing that you can be drawn to that it's a sin for you to do that. Sin is when you take that temptation and then you fulfill what it is that you're thinking about doing. It's not a sin to be tempted because Jesus was tempted, and Hebrews tells us he was tempted in everything as we are. So there isn't any temptation that a person can be tempted that Jesus didn't experience, either here or at some point in his life. And Jesus was perfect. He didn't sin. And so we realize, yeah, temptation is different than sin. Temptation makes us want to sin, but temptation isn't a sin. I also think it's interesting that Jesus responded to the devil each time with the scriptures. And it's really important for us to know what God says, because when Satan comes and tries to get us to do something stupid, if we know the word of God, we have a basis to say no, because here's what God says. And so it's a good reason to study your Bible and to read it, because you're prepared then for the temptations that come along. Another thing that's kind of interesting in the story is that in two of the three cases, Satan actually quoted scripture to Jesus. Now, he quoted it out of context. He didn't always quote it correctly, but he knew how to use the Bible. And that's just something that I want to mention to you, that just because somebody has a Bible verse behind what they are saying does not mean that is something that you should do, because the Bible is abused and twisted and misused all the time. The devil knows the Bible and he knows how to use it. And people who are weird, who are delusional, who are, you name it, can take Bible verses and go, "Here's what you should do because the Bible says this." We need to study the Bible and learn it in its context, in its historical and grammatical context, in its cultural context. We need to really study and interpret the Bible accurately instead of just taking a verse and tossing it out there. One thing you hear a lot is the Bible says abstain from all appearance of evil. Well, we don't have time to go exegete that passage, but there are people who take that verse and say, anything that you do that anybody might think is wrong, you shouldn't do it, because that's the appearance of evil. Well, again, without going into that passage, obviously that's not what it meant, because Jesus did things all the time that had the appearance of evil. From talking to a woman at the well in Samaria alone, there are people who go, "Oh, you should never talk to a woman alone because abstain from the appearance of evil." Yeah, well, Jesus didn't know that then. Or, if you have a drink, people are going to think you're a drunk. They thought Jesus was a drunk. But he didn't worry so much about letting other people judge him because of what they thought he might be doing. But somebody can take that verse and try to control your life and make you totally paranoid about what people think of you, which is exactly the opposite of what God wants to do. The devil loves to quote scripture. When someone is hitting you over the head with a scripture, beating you up with a scripture, condemning you with a scripture, that's very typical of how Satan attacks people. So be cautious about that. The Bible is God's word, but you need to understand it study it, understand its context, get the real meaning, do some good interpretation on it before it becomes fruitful to you, because the devil uses it improperly and other people will use it improperly as well. And so those are some things that I see just in a global kind of way on this passage. But I also see at a more micro level that each of these three temptations that Satan presented to Jesus give us some understanding about typically what temptation is like and how you can combat against it. The first temptation was, you're hungry, right? 40 days and nights without eating. So why don't you just turn these stones into bread? Now, man, if you hadn't eaten for 40 days and you know you had the power to turn stones into bread, and what would taste better than bread after fasting for 40 days, especially good bread? My daughter-in-law got a bread maker for Christmas, and she had it over at our house the other night. And the hardest thing was it took like 2.5 hours for this bread to be made. But you take that bread out when it's just fresh and you smell it and you put a bunch of butter on it, and it's so good. It was like amazing. We're like, we should do this every day. And if Jesus had turned rocks into bread, it would have been like fresh bread. You let the bread sit for a while. It just tastes like any bread, and then eventually it turns into rocks. Like Satan was saying, turn the rocks into bread. Bread will turn into rocks if you wait long enough. But imagine how it would have tasted. And so what the devil is saying to Jesus is, this would feel so good, fresh bread. And he was hungry. And it made sense, except Jesus responded to that desire to feel good. He quoted from Deuteronomy 8 and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In other words, Jesus said, my life is not just about bread. There are more important things than bread. The scripture that he quoted was back when it was talking about how God gave them manna, which was a really boring food that they just ate every day. And he was saying, because you don't need bread to live. You need whatever I provide for you. And so Jesus responds by going, yeah, bread sounds good, but I don't just do what's going to feel good. I have more important things than just bread. So then in the second case, the devil comes to him and says, you're here at the temple. There's people all around. Jump off. It's like a 70-foot drop. And the Bible says the angels will catch you and swoop you up. Just think of what that would look like. And no doubt it was a temptation. Hey, here's an audience. Here's an opportunity. Nobody had ever jumped off the temple and ended up flying with angels. And so this was kind of a temptation to say, just think of how good you'd look if you did this. But Jesus responded, you're not supposed to tempt God. By tempting or testing God, he was saying that, you know, when you do something to aggrandize yourself, when you do something to promote yourself, that could be offensive to God. Reminds you of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, who God promoted and made him successful for particular purposes. And he had a very close relationship with Daniel. But at one point, the Lord told Daniel that he had to tell him, you're becoming too proud. And so God is going to judge you. And sure enough, one night, Nebuchadnezzar walked out on his balcony and he began to look over all of his kingdom. And he just started to feel like, look at what I did. And he's like taking a selfie of himself with his kingdom in the background. He's like, look at me. And right then, God made him go nuts. And he thought he was like an animal. And so he was doomed to live out in the field and be a vegetarian for 7 years. Can you imagine? And until he humbled himself, and then God restored him to his kingdom. He just needed to know who God was. And so Jesus is kind of saying to the devil, hey, be careful. You don't do things to make you look good. That's tempting God. And then in the third case, where he says, see all these kingdoms? He took them up to a mountain, probably up in northern Israel, where you could see Syria, Damascus out there, some places with beautiful, beautiful views out there. He said, I'll give you all these. All of these people will worship you if you just bow down and worship to me. What price would you have to have that kind of greatness? Basically, what he is saying is, I will promote you over all of these people. And you deserve it. You're the Messiah. Just one little technicality, you better bow down to me. And Jesus responded by saying, God says you only worship him. I will not bow down to anyone, even if it means that I achieve the success that I deserve earlier than what it seems like I'm actually going to achieve it. So all three of these temptations, it's interesting that people can only be tempted so many basic ways. The devil is not creative. And so he tends to use the same methods with everyone. He did it in Genesis 3 with Eve, as he tempted her to eat that fruit that she was told not to eat. When she finally, after this conversation with the devil, she looked at it and she goes, I'll bet that tastes good. Like, that would feel good. And then she also said, that is pleasant to the eyes. That looks good. I bet I'd look good with that fruit, you know, the bite out of it. And then ultimately, she thought it would make her wise, which really is wiser, because the devil had convinced her that God is afraid of you being as good as him and better than everyone else. And that's why he won't let you eat the fruit. Eat the fruit and you'll be the smartest person in the world. You'll be superior to everyone. You can even teach Adam a thing or two. The same basic temptations. I want to feel good. I want to look good. I want to be better than others. In 1 John chapter 2, he talks about temptation. And John says, basically all temptation comes down to this. The lust of the flesh, feeling good. The lust of the eyes, looking good, the pride of life, being better. And so this is kind of what the devil does. And he does it for each of us. We are all confronted with these temptations. It's part of life. First of all, the lust of the flesh, the desire to feel good. Who can blame anyone for wanting to feel good, right? And yet, look how much damage it does. When we say that would feel good, just like in this case, if you live your life looking to have comfort food, you end up not feeling so good. But at the time you're eating it, it feels great. It's funny, I'm convinced that when you're feeling lousy, nothing will make you feel better than some food that's really bad for you. I understand that. Every pain I've ever had in my life was greatly improved by macaroni and cheese. But it's kind of deceptive because later it doesn't feel so good. Later it ends up having ancillary effects. But for every one of us, there's a temptation to just do what feels good. And a lot of times the thing that's best for you doesn't feel so good. It's not so pleasant. But people look at it and go, well, I think that would feel good. It's what causes people to get addicted to medication and pills and drugs. It's what causes people to get hooked on things like pornography. It's what causes people to go cheat on their spouse, to have affairs, to do, because it's like, this would feel good. And temptation always hits us when we're feeling a lack. So people who completely trash their lives, quite often what starts that is, I'm hungry, I'm tired, I'm lonely, I'm depressed, I feel insignificant. And so something is there that looks like, wow, God has provided this. And so someone trashes their relationship with somebody that they love by forming a relationship with a one-dimensional picture on a computer screen, because it's easier and it feels good right away. Someone looks at a drug and says, wow, a little bit of that drug feels really good. I bet another drug would feel even better. And so by starting with something fairly mild, they quite often then develop into other habits. I've known several people who started just taking, you know, prescription medication and abusing it a little bit. And then they say, you know, but it's not like I'm taking illegal drugs. And then the next time you talk to them, they're like, well, I did heroin, but, you know, because heroin's like one of the cheapest drugs now. It used to be super expensive. So, you know, you can see the economy's improving. But but they go, I'll take heroin, but I'll just smoke it. Listen, it's not much different than pot. And they're going, it's not like I'm slamming it. It's not like I'm not injecting it. And then they're like, well, okay, I'll smoke it. Maybe then I'll snort it. Then I'll... next thing you know, they're shooting their veins up and their legs and their feet and everything else. Why? Because it feels good. It completely destroys your life. Nobody ever, when they're healthy, says, I want to look like a meth head. You know, I want to go, you know, live up in Victorville and just, you know, but it just kind of happens. Because at some point, I'm sorry if you're from Victorville, but there's a reason why you're here today, let's face it. But it's like, nobody wants to do that, but the pain of life drives you to too many drinks, to too many relationships, to too many fun activities, too much danger. It's all about escaping the pain. And there are a lot of really destructive ways to feel better. We need to be cautious about those. We need to understand what Jesus says here.
Well, we're learning a great deal from the temptation of Jesus today on The Balanced Word. We're in Matthew chapter 4, going through the Bible, spotlighting various Bible stories. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. We have these messages archived for you at thebalancedword.com. Or call and request today's message on CD at 949-362-7475. And as a special appreciation gift for your donation of $10 or more, The Balanced Word is pleased to send you all of these messages in this Bible Story series on a USB thumb drive. You'll hear some of the Bible's greatest stories from Genesis through Revelation. To make a secure donation, go to thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. And don't forget to ask for the Bible Story series as you give. Again, we're at thebalancedword.com. Hey, we have new service times here at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are now at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. We hope to see you sometime soon. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Here with the rest of today's message on temptation, Pastor Dave once again.
The second thing that Jesus faced as a temptation was, you'd look pretty good flying, wouldn't you? Just think, you got an audience. And you can jump off this temple and angels will catch you. Can you imagine? You will be on every news story. You will be just so prominent. You'll look good and, hey, you're the Son of God. You should look good. This would look good on you, flying Jesus. And that was apparently tempting to him. His response was, I'm not going to tempt God. That is something that's very offensive to God when someone is self-obsessed. Now, in our society, you know, this temptation to look good is perhaps even greater than the temptation to feel good. We care deeply about what people think of us because we think that other people's opinions are what define our value. It's why in our culture, people are obsessed with selfies. Just, you know, you look and it's like, here's me with my meal. Here's my feet at the beach. Here's my, and it's like, I saw somebody a couple weeks ago that said, the reason we call them selfies is because narcissisti is too hard to spell. But it really is, look at me, it's narcissism. You know the Greek story of Narcissus, where he looked at his reflection in the water and he was like, I'm looking good today. And he's taking his picture and he just stayed there. Couldn't take his eyes off himself, and it ended up killing him. That's our society. We care so much about what people think of how we look. Ooh, if I did this, how would that make me look? Well, when I did this, that makes me look good. Narcissism destroys you.
We're going through the Bible on The Balanced Word, picking out various Bible stories along the way. Our New Testament journey continues next week. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel, online at thebalancedword.com.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And yeah.